Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God to begin with. The book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. Again, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, starting at verse 1. After this, the armies of the Moabites, Ammonites, and some of the Maonites declared war on Jehoshaphat. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. They are already at Hazazon Tamar." This was another name for En-Gedi. Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah and Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard at the temple of the Lord. He prayed, "O Lord, God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. O our God, did you not drive out those who lived in this land when your people Israel arrived? And did you not give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? Your people settled here and built this temple to honor your name." They said, "Whenever we are faced with any calamity such as war, plague, or famine, we can come to stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. And now see what the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir are doing. You would not let our ancestors invade those nations when Israel left Egypt. So they went around them and did not destroy them. Now see how they reward us, for they have come to throw us out of your land, which you gave us as an inheritance. O our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help." As all the men of Judah stood before the Lord, with their little ones, wives, and children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. His name was Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, a Levite who was a descendant of Asaph. He said, "Listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march out against them. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you." Then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites from the clans of Kohath and Korah stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, "Listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed." After consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising Him for His holy splendor. This is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. At the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. After they had destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking each other. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. They found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, and other valuables, more than they could carry. There was so much plunder that it took them 3 days just to collect it all. On the fourth day, they gathered in the Valley of Blessing, which got its name that day because the people praised and thanked the Lord there. It is still called the Valley of Blessing today. Then all the men returned to Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat leading them, overjoyed that the Lord had given them victory over their enemies. They marched into Jerusalem to the music of harps, lyres, and trumpets, and they proceeded to the temple of the Lord. When all the surrounding kingdoms heard that the Lord Himself had fought against the enemies of Israel, the fear of God came over them. So Jehoshaphat's kingdom was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. Verses 1 through 30, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Father, thank you, Lord, for being El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Thank you for being our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Lord, thank you for the glorious and the wonderful account found in this passage that tells of how that your servant, King Jehoshaphat, trusted you and looked to you. And as a wise leader, was wise enough to not only humble himself and trust you, but brought the whole nation before you to humble themselves and resubmit themselves to you. Thank you, Lord, for godly leadership like King Jehoshaphat. Father, more and more raise up wise leaders that love you, that want to serve you, and that want to honor you in the way they lead. And more remove unrighteous leaders that don't want to serve you, that don't love you, that don't want to follow you. In Jesus' name, pour out your spirit of mercy, light, and revival mightily upon our nation. Pour out the spirit of revival, mercy, and light mightily upon us as your church. Stir us to be the church that's looking to you for guidance, for grace, and for victory in every area of life. We know that greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Thank you for being El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for the beauty of the seventh day in creation, of how you rested in the garden with man, and you rested just to be with us. And Father, thank you so much for whenever we take moments to still be with you, that you come and you spend that time with us as well. Thank you so much, Father, for this moment that we get to spend with you. Thank you for the remainder of this broadcast that we get to spend listening to your word and hearing your voice. And Father, I ask that we'd spend more time in praise, watching you deliver us, watching you free us from our oppression, from our enemies, as we just worship your goodness, worship your name, and proclaim how amazing you are. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. Let me remind all of our listeners once again, the website is 10laws.us. If you're still wanting to get one of the Ten Commandments yard signs to place in your yard, and let me say, what a powerful and a wonderful witness that is to your whole community, simply planting God's word and the power of his word in your front yard. What a great thing to do. We're grateful to have with us once again Brother Charlie Wysong. He's the servant of the Lord God is using to head this wonderful project, the Ten Commandments Yard Sign Project. And always good to have him with us. Brother Charlie, how are you today?
I'm doing fine, Brother Joseph, and I appreciate you having me on.
Always good to have you. And if you would just summarize once again for our listeners what the Ten Commandments Project is about and how they can get a sign if they want one for their yard as well.
Okay. I've asked my own family for devotions one morning. I said, name the Ten Commandments. And there was, so I said, someone name the Ten Commandments. And no one could do it. And I really got upset. And then I realized, I thought, well, you know, I'm going to these churches to preach against abortion. I said, I think I'm going to start asking them if they can name the Ten Commandments. And Brother Joseph, I found that not even 1% of Christians who regularly attend church can name all 10 of the commandments. Mm. And if anybody doubts it, go ask the next Christian you see. Go ask the next diligent Christian you see. And but it's horrible. And so in this country, probably one person in every 400 could name all 10 of the commandments. Mm-hmm. And in the church, it's only about 1 in 100. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we are a nation that is going back to the book of Judges, where every man is doing that which is right in his own eyes. I mean, you just look at what's being proposed and talked about in our society today, and we have to say, this has nothing to do with God. All these things that you're pursuing are all against what God says. Mm-hmm. So we're doing that which is right in our own eyes and not what is right in God's eyes. And I just realized, I want to get God's people to learn the Ten Commandments again. And I say this, probably the most focused thing I want to do is I want to get people to raise their children differently, mm-hmm. that they raise their children as God says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, that verses 4 through 9, he talks about teaching our children the laws of God every single day. And so that's what the Ten Commandments Project is about, is getting people to put them up. I want to see yard signs across this country. I'd like to see 1 million yard signs across this country, even before this election. Mm-hmm. But 1 million copies of God's law out and letting people know we are very serious about obeying your laws. And I know a lot of things in my life, there's some things God is dealing with me about obedience. And it may not be thou shalt not kill or thou shalt not bear false witness. It may not be that. It may be more subtle than that. Mm-hmm. But I tell you what, I really want to get the simple things down right, like not lying, not committing adultery, not taking God's name in vain. I want to make sure that I don't disobey those. And mm-hmm. those are so clear. Mm-hmm. But as a people, we have neglected God. And God says, if we forget his law, then he'll forget our children. Mm-hmm. His hand of protection will come off of our children. And today, it's our children that are being deceived and destroyed before our very eyes.
So, again, if a listener's wanting to get a Ten Commandments yard sign for their own yard, tell them again how they can do that.
Okay, they can go to 10laws.us, and on that site they can order a copy of the Ten Commandment yard sign. And I'll say this, Brother Joseph, we had one whole county. So if you do 1 million yard signs across this country, mm-hmm. that really works out to be one yard sign for every 340 people in the county. Mm-hmm. And so we had a county up here in Tennessee, Sequatchie County, and the sheriff said, we're going to do this. Mm-hmm. And he raised the money to buy the Ten Commandments for their county. Mm-hmm. So he's already gotten people to buy these and make them available to folks in Sequatchie County.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that, Brother Charlie. On the other side, I'm going to ask if you'll say a word of prayer for our listeners to get more involved in doing things like this as well. So we'll be right back. You're listening to The Hour of Intercession. Brother Charlie Wysong is our phone guest. We'll be back.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
That's what we're doing tonight.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. 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 This is how I fight my battles.
The music of Michael W. Smith with Surrounded. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our initial phone guest is Brother Charlie Wysong, who is the servant the Lord is using to head up the Ten Commandments Yard Sign Project. Brother Charlie, before you go, would you pray for listeners that they would just choose to become much more vibrant witnesses for Christ in getting involved in doing things like the Ten Commandments Project, Yard Sign Project, but other things as well, simply living to where we're pointing people to Christ, the Word of God, and eternal life in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Well, Father, we want to come before you. You are the God who is able to do all things. And Father, just as you, as Brother Joseph read the scripture this morning, that indeed you came down and you caused the enemy to fight against themselves, and Israel had to do nothing to win the battle. And Father, you can do that again. And I pray your people would become bold. I pray we would desire to be identified with you, unashamedly identified with you, that we'd have a Ten Commandment yard sign in our yard, that we declare that we desire to be obedient to you. And Father, help us to teach the law of God to our children. Father, they need so much help in this society that is fighting against God on every hand. And Father, I pray that you would equip them to know, so that they know what's right and what's wrong, that they can take a stand for what's right. And I pray that our people, all the people of God, would begin to take a stand for God and to be different and to be unafraid and to be brave. And I pray this, Father, that your name might be glorified. And I pray this in Jesus' name, Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And one more time, if someone wants to get a Ten Commandments yard sign, tell them again how they can do that.
And it would be tenlaws.us. And Brother Joseph, if I could just say this one thing.
Okay.
So our music director at our church put a Ten Commandment yard sign up in his house, and his neighbors that were taking God's name in vain all the time stopped. Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, that's exactly what the law is used for, to bring conviction. Mm-hmm. But then the other day, a 14-year-old boy came by and started talking to him about the Ten Commandment yard sign, mm-hmm. and the next day he was able to lead that boy to the Lord.
So praise God.
But see, that's the way God prepares us. That's his ordained method for preparing us to be saved, as we come to know the law so that we're convicted of our sins. Mm-hmm. And Paul said in Romans 7:7, I had not known sin but by the law. I had not known lust, except the commandment had said, thou shalt not covet. And so the operation of the law is not to save us. It's to bring us to the place that we realize that we need God's grace. We need the sacrificial work of Christ on the cross applied to our life. God, mm-hmm. be merciful to me, a sinner.
That's right. Well, again, thank you so much for being with us once again, Brother Charlie. And again, to every single listener, we would invite you to prayerfully consider getting a Ten Commandments yard sign for your to go in your yard as well, and never underestimate how the Holy Spirit will use God's Word on display in any given setting, whether it's your front yard, whether it's having Scripture in your living room, in your home, on the wall, decorating in other capacities. Never underestimate how much the Holy Spirit will use that, because that's clearly something Deuteronomy 6 tells us we're called to do. Decorate your life with the Word of God. Brother Charlie, again, thanks so much for being with us, and please keep up the great work, okay?
And bless you, and bless all the people listening. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Father, again, we thank you for every believer listening. Thank you for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for us as a nation, Lord. Help us as the church and as a nation, Lord, to put you first. Help us to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet, in Jesus' name. And thank you again for us as the church and as a nation. Lord, today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today we say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress. Our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the fowler's snare and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High our habitation, no evil will befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash a foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. We trample underfoot, because we have set our love upon you. Therefore you deliver us. You set us on high, because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us. With long life you satisfy us and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And we continue to remind and encourage you, please do take the time to pray Psalm 91 over yourself and over your family every single day. Remember, in this dangerous world, no one can protect us like the Lord can. And also speaking, memorizing Psalm 23 and speaking it and letting God know you're standing on the promises of Psalm 23 is a very wise and productive, a very fruitful thing for us to do on a daily basis. Wise battle strategies for us to use in our daily lives. We pick up now reading through the Word of God here now in the book of 1 Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 23, picking up at verse 18. The descendants of Izhar included Shelomith, the family leader. The descendants of Hebron included Jeriah, the family leader, Amariah the second, Jehaziel the third, and Jekameam the fourth. The descendants of Uziel included Micah, the family leader, and Isaiah the second. The descendants of Merari included Mahli and Mushai. The sons of Mahli were Eleazar and Kish. Eleazar died with no sons, only daughters. His daughters married their cousins, the sons of Kish. Three of the descendants of Mushai were Mahli, Eder, and Jeremoth. These were the descendants of Levi by clans, the leaders of their family groups, registered carefully by name. Each had to be 20 years old or older to qualify for service in the house of the Lord. For David said, "The Lord, the God of Israel, has given us peace, and he will always live in Jerusalem." Now the Levites will no longer need to carry the tabernacle and its furnishings from place to place. In accordance with David's final instructions, all the Levites 20 years old or older were registered for service. The work of the Levites was to assist the priests, the descendants of Aaron, as they served at the house of the Lord. They also took care of the courtyards and side rooms, helped perform the ceremonies of purification, and served in many other ways in the house of God. They were in charge of the sacred bread that was set out on the table, the choice flour for the grain offerings, the wafers made without yeast, the cakes cooked in olive oil, and the other mixed breads, They were also responsible to check all the weights and measures. And each morning and evening, they stood before the Lord to sing songs of thanks and praise to Him. They assisted with the burnt offerings that were presented to the Lord on Sabbath days, at new moon celebrations, and at all the appointed festivals. The required number of Levites served in the Lord's presence at all times, following all the procedures they had been given. And so, under the supervision of the priests, the Levites watched over the tabernacle and the temple and faithfully carried out their duties of service at the house of the Lord. 1 Chronicles chapter 24. Now this is how Aaron's descendants, the priests, were divided into groups for service. The sons of Aaron were Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. But Nadab and Abihu died before their father, and they had no sons. So only Eleazar and Ithamar were left to carry on as priests. With the help of Zadok, who was a descendant of Eleazar, and of Ahimelech, who was a descendant of Ithamar, David divided Aaron's descendants into groups according to their various duties. Eleazar's descendants were divided into 16 groups and Ithamar's into 8, for there were more family leaders among the descendants of Eleazar. All tasks were assigned to the various groups by means of sacred lots, so that no preference would be shown. For there were many qualified officials serving God in the sanctuary from among the descendants of both Eleazar and Ithamar. Shemaiah, son of Nethanel, a Levite, acted as secretary and wrote down the names and assignments in the presence of the king, the officials, Zadok the priest, Ahimelech, son of Abiahar, and the family leaders of the priests and Levites. The descendants of Eleazar and Ithamar took turns casting lots. The first lot fell to Jehoiarib. The second lot fell to Jediah. The third lot fell to Harim. The fourth lot fell to Seorim. The fifth lot fell to Malchijah. The sixth lot fell to Majamin. The seventh lot fell to Hakoz. The eighth lot fell to Abijah. The ninth lot fell to Jeshua. The tenth lot fell to Shechaniah. The 11th lot fell to Eliashib. The 12th lot fell to Jakim. The 13th lot fell to Huppah. The 14th lot fell to Jeshabiab. The 15th lot fell to Bilgah. The 16th lot fell to Emet. The 17th lot fell to Hezer. The 18th lot fell to Hippazaz. The 19th lot fell to Pethahiah. The 20th lot fell to Jehezkel. The 21st lot fell to Jachin. The 22nd lot fell to Gamul. The 23rd lot fell to Deliah. The 24th lot fell to Maaziah. Each group carried out its appointed duties in the house of the Lord according to the procedures established by their ancestor Aaron, in obedience to the commands of the Lord, the God of Israel. These were the other family leaders descended from Levi, from the descendants of Amram, the leader of Shebuel. From the descendants of Shebuel, the leader was Jediah. The descendants of Rehabiah, from the descendants of Rehabiah, the leader was Ishiah. From the descendants of Izhar, the leader was Shelomith. From the descendants of Shelomith, The leader was Jahath. From the descendants of Hebron, Jeriah was the leader. Amariah was second. Jahaziel was third. And Jekameam was fourth. From the descendants of Uziel, the leader was Micah. From the descendants of Micah, the leader was Shamir, along with Ishiah, the brother of Micah. From the descendants of Ishiah, the leader was Zechariah. From the descendants of Merari, the leaders were Mali and Mushai. From the descendants of Jaaziah, the leader was Bino. From the descendants of Merari, through Jaaziah, the leaders were Bino, Shoham, Zakur, and Ibri. From the descendants of Mali, the leader was Eleazar, though he had no sons. From the descendants of Kish, the leader was Jerahmeel. Verses 1 through 29, 1 Chronicles chapter 24. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've been reading through the Word of God. We'll be right back. Music from Mosaic, a song simply entitled Tremble. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We continue now reading through the Word of God as we pick up in the New Testament, the book of 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. So then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude he had and be ready to suffer too. For if you have suffered physically for Christ, you have finished with sin. You won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. You have had enough in the past of the evil things that godless people enjoy, their immorality and lust, their feasting and drunkenness and wild parties, and their terrible worship of idols. Of course, your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of wild and destructive things they do. So they slander you, but remember that they will have to face God, who stands ready to judge everyone, both the living and the dead. That is why the good news was preached to those who are now dead. So although they were destined to die like all people, they now live forever with God in the Spirit. The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God Himself was speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to Him forever and ever. Amen. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in His suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing His glory when it is revealed to all the world. If you are insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you will be blessed, for the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. If you suffer, however, it must not be for murder, stealing, making trouble, or prying into other people's affairs. But it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by His name, for the time has come for judgment, and it must begin with God's household. And if judgment begins with us, what terrible fate awaits those who have never obeyed God's good news? And also, if the righteous are barely saved, what will happen to godless sinners? So, if you are suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what is right and trust your lives to the God who created you, for He will never fail you. 1 Peter chapter 5. And now, a word to you who are elders in the churches. I too am an elder and a witness to the sufferings of Christ, and I too will share in His glory when He is revealed to the whole world. As a fellow elder, I appeal to you, care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly, not for what you will get out of it, but because you are eager to serve God. Don't lord it over the people assigned to your care, but lead them by your own good example. And when the great shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of never-ending glory and honor. In the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders. And all of you, dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time He will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. All power to him forever. Amen. I've written and sent this short letter to you with the help of Silas, whom I commend to you as a faithful brother. My purpose in writing is to encourage you and assure you that what you are experiencing is truly part of God's grace for you. Stand firm in this grace. Your sister church here in Babylon sends you greetings, and so does my son Mark. Greet each other with a kiss of love. Peace be with all of you who are in Christ. The book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to you who share the same precious faith we have. This faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus, our Lord. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, I will always remind you about these things, even though you already know them and are standing firm in the truth you have been taught. And it is only right that I should keep on reminding you as long as I live. For our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me that I must soon leave this earthly life. So I will work hard to make you sure you always remember these things after I am gone. For we are not making up clever stories when we told you about the powerful coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw his majestic splendor with our own eyes when he received honor and glory from God the Father. The voice from the majestic glory of God said to him, "This is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy." We ourselves heard that voice from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Because of that experience, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. You must pay close attention to what they wrote, for their words are like a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and Christ, the morning star, shines in your hearts. Verses 1 through 19, 2 Peter chapter 1. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've been reading through the Word of God. And as we usually do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening and you desire to give your heart to Jesus Christ today, if you desire to be saved and to fully commit your heart and life to the Lord, would you simply make that step by praying this prayer along with me even now? If you'd like to be saved, would you simply from your heart pray with us now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so, so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things that I've ever done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to live my whole life for you. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to live a life of obedience to your word and Spirit daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you gave your life to Christ and prayed that prayer, we would like very much to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We do want to share with you some literature and resource materials, discipleship materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. My email, once again, joseph@afr.net. Please let us get that to you right away. Again, joseph@afr.net. Also, if you'd like to receive any of the prayer tools we've mentioned in the past, the prayer based on Psalm 91, just the Lord's Prayer, the Prayer of Jabez, praying the Ten Commandments, any of those prayer tools and all of them, we're glad to share them with you. Simply email us, same email, joseph@afr.net. We hope to hear from you. Thanks for listening. And once again, if you want to get the Ten Commandments yard sign, go to tenlaws.us. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.